All right, Matthew chapter 6, I've titled the lesson this morning, Dust, Rust, and Trust. I very seldom come up with a title that might catch someone's attention, so I hope I have more than just a catchy title this morning. Dust, Rust, and Trust. Our text begins in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. The Lord says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the treasure that the Lord speaks of is something that's precious to us. It's something that is so precious, it's so valuable to us, that we will go after it to try to get it with almost everything that we have. And our heart, our affection, will be where our treasure is. Be chasing after that treasure because it's so precious to us, we just have to have it. And we'll give up almost anything else to get it. Now the Lord tells us there's two kinds of treasures. There's treasures upon earth, and there's treasures that are in heaven. And the Master warns us, don't seek after these treasures upon earth. Now, there's very obvious reasons for that. Everything in this earth is temporary. It will very soon be burned up. And your treasure will too, if that's where it's at. It's upon the earth. This life passes so quickly, so quickly. And then it's gone. In an instant, it's gone. And I don't care how much of this earth's goods you've amassed, that treasure will be gone quickly too, the very moment that you die. But heavenly, spiritual treasures are eternal treasures, treasures that can never be lost. And matter of fact, we'll fully possess them when we die. And that'll be soon, won't it? That's going to be soon. So seek those things. Now, believers know this to be true. We know that this earth is temporary, that there's nothing of any value here upon this earth. But we still need this warning, don't we? It's obvious we need it because the Lord's given it to us. But we need to be warned about treasures on earth because every believer will tell you we're far too worldly. Believers are far too worldly because our old nature is still there. It's still very, very strong and it loves this earth. It loves the things of this earth. Now, the Lord's been teaching us here about our motivation. Now, what is it that motivates you? It's your treasure, isn't it? Our treasure is what motivates us. Now, we need things to live in this earth. You know, you've got to go to work to get them. You've got to do things to have them. If a man won't work, don't let him eat. Well, you need to eat, don't you? Well, you're going to have to spend time working. But what motivates you? What motivates you? What treasure is it? It's our treasure that motivates us. So what's your treasure that motivates you? That's the question. And if you look back at John chapter 7, we're going to look at John chapter 7. Have a Bible study here and see what the Word of God says about this. I hope our treasure is not in the world. Because look what our Lord says about the world. John chapter 7 verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now why did his brethren say that? For neither did his brethren believe in him. See, their treasure was in the earth. They wanted the Lord, their brother, to conquer the earth and have an earthly rule. They figured that would work out well for them. If their older brother was ruling the world, you know, that would work out well for them. Their treasure was in the earth. And if our treasure's in the earth, it's for the same reason their treasure was in the earth. Neither do we believe upon him. Now look at verse 6. Our Lord answers and said unto them, my time is not yet come. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now, do you really want your treasure to be of the earth, which hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we think, oh, people we know don't hate Christ. Well, now wait a minute. The world doesn't hate this sweet little Jesus boy that they've concocted from their own imagination. But the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign Savior. People who are in false religion or people who have no religion at all, these folks are not indifferent to Christ. They hate Him. Now, we may think, I don't want to think that. They're such nice people. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what the Lord said about them. They hate Him. Do we really want our treasure upon the earth that hates the Lord Jesus Christ? I think not. All right, look at John chapter 17. I'll show you how serious this matter is. John chapter 17 and verse 9. The Savior says, I pray for them, those that thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, if your treasures of the earth, this is a solemn warning to us, our Savior refused to pray for the world. He refused to pray for the world. I pray not for the world. Is that really where we want our treasure to be? In that place that the Lord Himself, the Savior Himself, refused to pray for? All right, look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. See, here's people James is describing as fighting, doing everything they can to get a treasure upon the earth. And they're not satisfied. No matter how much they get of it, they're not satisfied. Verse 4, he goes on, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now he's talking here not about people who commit adultery against their spouse. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Those people who are chasing that spiritual adultery, who are friends with the world, who are friends with the religion of this world, are the enemies of God. See, our treasure doesn't just have to be material things. Our treasure may be religious things. Our treasure may be things that we think we can do to earn some favor from God. That may be our treasure, and that's spiritual adultery. It's adultery, union with false religion that says, I can do something to please God. I can do something to get God to save me. I can do something to make God more happy with me than somebody else. And our Lord says, whoever's the friend of that is the enemy of God. Now, do we really want our treasure to be in that place that is the enemy of God? If our treasure is in the place that's the enemy of God, what do you reckon is going to happen to it? It's going to be destroyed, isn't it? Now look over at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is the point I'm trying to make on this, to love the things of this earth, to have our treasure in this earth, is to hate God. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now to love the world is to hate the Father. Just like our Lord said, no man can have two masters. No man can have two treasures. Can't chase after two treasures in opposite directions. You're going to chase after one. You're going to love the one and hate the other. So to have your treasure in this earth is to hate the Father. All right, now look back at Mark chapter 4. Like I said, now these are, we have to have things of this earth. You know, we have to have the money to pay for them. We have to have food and clothing and shelter and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with going to work and working to get those things and working overtime and those kinds of things when you have to. You have to work to get these things. Here's the problem. The problem is when the things of the earth become our treasure. Not just something that we have to use to get by, but something that becomes our treasure. Mark 4, verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See? If our treasure is the things of this world, this is what it will always do. It'll choke off the Word of God. It'll choke off our spiritual life and make us unfruitful and make us unuseful in the kingdom of God. No child of God wants that. Look over a few more pages, Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now this treasure, if all the treasure that you want is in this life, it won't profit you anything. There is no profit to it whatsoever. It'll all be lost. Every bit of it will be lost. And none of it will contribute anything to your eternal soul. Hold your place there. I'm just going to read this to you in Isaiah chapter 55. In light of that the treasure of this world has got no value. It's useless. In light of that, listen to what the prophet says. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you seeking after something that's your treasure, which is not bread, is not bread for your soul? Or your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why are you chasing after this treasure that never satisfies you? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. See, there is a treasure that's sure, isn't there? There is a treasure that's valuable to our souls. Then why are you chasing after something else? Why would you chase after something else that satisfieth not, that doesn't do any good to your soul? And every treasure upon earth, I don't care what it is, what treasure it is that we have, every treasure that's upon this earth is dust and rust. If it's upon this earth, it's made of dust. And something as simple as a moth can come and make it disappear. Something as simple as rust will just make it vanish. That's what the word corrupt our Lord uses there. It means something is made to disappear. Something that will vanish. A treasure that is of the earth is dust. That's what the word earth there means. It's of the dust. And I don't care how you shape it. I don't care what shape you put it in. It's just dust. And for long, it'll return to the dust from whence it was made. And a puff of wind will blow it away. And it'll be gone. And there are several different kinds of treasures upon this earth we can consider. This treasure could be wealth and money. That's the first thing that comes to our mind. It's some of the treasure. It's wealth and money. And there's no problem with having material wealth, none whatsoever. Job, Abraham, David, Solomon were all very, very, very wealthy men. But But those were men. Job was a wealthy man. God called him righteous. Abraham was a wealthy man. God called him my friend. David was a wealthy man. God said, this is the man from my own heart. Solomon was a rich man. God said, this is the wise man. So nothing wrong with material wealth. You can have material wealth and Christ will be your treasure. The problem is the love of it. It's the covetousness for it because those riches are your treasure. Now look at Luke chapter 12. See, the problem is not having riches. The problem is letting those riches control you. Instead of you controlling them and using what God's given you, they're controlling you. That's the problem. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he, a fool, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now we need to remember this. Riches have wings. Invest all you want, and the stock market goes down and your riches vanish in a day. They're gone. And if not, God will take it away some way. One way or another, God's going to take it away. That's not a very good treasure, is it? Well, look over at John chapter 12. Our treasure could be popularity. You know, everybody wants to be popular, don't they? Everybody wants to be in the in crowd. I thought about this. I didn't ask Janet about it, but I thought about this. And I thought of all our girls' friends all the time they were in school. And I bet you the only mother of all those children that didn't want their child to be in the in crowd is Jan Sue. Everybody wants their child to be popular in the in crowd. Well, you know what? That's fine and dandy, I reckon. But being popular with this world makes you the enemy of God. Being popular in this world will give you the fear of men. You're in that in crowd. You know how easy it is to misstep and get kicked out of it? You're in that in crowd, you just identify with Christ. You just confess Christ, and you won't be popular anymore. That gives people the fear of this world. And that happened here in John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. See, that loving popularity will keep you from coming to Christ, keep you from identifying with him, because you know the world hates him. That's a very dangerous situation. One, if your treasure is popularity, it'll give you the fear of men. And the thief the Lord talks about, you know, it might not be a cat burglar that breaks in to steal our gold. It might not be a dishonest financial advisor or something. I tell you, the thief all of us have to deal with is our sin and the effects of our sin. You know, our treasure could be building up a huge nest egg so we can retire and spend our time traveling and spend our time being with our family and just have the ease of golden years. But you know, an invisible thing called Alzheimer's will come and take it all away. You wouldn't even notice that. You could die before you retire. I mean, you just never know what thief will come from the effect of sin and take it away. Our treasure could be physical beauty. Well, if that's your treasure, brother, you don't got to look far to see sin's going to take that away. Now, sin's going to take that away. my brother, and when he was administrator of a nursing home, said somebody that wants to get a bunch of tattoos and somebody that wants to so take care of their body and see how, you know, just such pride in the strength of their body, he said, just come take a stroll through the nursing home. You see what flesh becomes. Sin's going to take it away. Now, I don't say all that to frighten everybody to death, you know. But these things, hearing these warnings now, that frightens a believer. It frightens a believer because this is what we recognize. Ooh, my flesh still loves that. There's still an attraction to all that, you know, to my flesh. I mean, every one of us, if we could choose, we'd be tall, dark, and handsome. We'd be wealthy. We'd be popular. You know, all of us would choose that. And it concerns us because now I've got a new man too, a new man that loves God, that believes Christ, that loves Him. So this frightens me that I've got this nature that loves these things, which are the enemy of God. That I've got a nature that loves these things that'll keep me from Christ and choke off my spiritual life. Well, I've got a comforting verse for you. Our Lord said, you be of good cheer. Be good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. And God's children are going to overcome the world too. They're going to overcome the lust of these things, the treasures of the earth, because our Savior's overcome the world. So the world can't take us away from Him. The world can't steal us away from Him and keep us from believing Christ and keep us from coming to Him, because our Savior's overcome the world. And our Savior's also overcome the world that's in our heart. Now the world's set in our heart, but our Savior's overcome the world that's set in our hearts, causing a new man to be born who reigns. 1 John 4, verse 4, John says, you're of God, little children, and you've overcome them. Not because you're so special, but because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So God's children have comfort because our Savior's overcome the world. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Our Savior has provided for us an inheritance. And that inheritance will never turn to dust or rust, and no thief of any form, shape, or size will ever come and be able to take it away from us. Because our spiritual blessings are reserved in heaven. They're not here upon this earth. They're reserved, kept in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that's the treasure I want in you, that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven. Now here's the question. Is that the treasure you want? Hope so. Well, here's a good question. The Lord said, lay it up for yourself. Didn't He? Well, how do I lay up for myself this treasure in heaven? Well, it's not. Let me start out by what it's not. It's not by doing a bunch of good works, the sending materials up to glory on ahead of us that can be used to build a bigger mansion than somebody else, or to have more jewels in our crown or whatever than somebody else. Laying up is not a work that we do, because that would be works, not grace. So it can't be that, can it? Tell you how you lay up treasures in heaven for yourself. It's by seeking the treasure where it's found. That's how you do it. Seek your treasure in Christ, because it's all in Him. The Father's put all fullness in Him. And Peter told us the believer's inheritance is reserved for those who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. You seek this treasure by faith. By trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting Him who is in heaven. Now there is an awful big difference between trust in Christ. Between trusting Him, resting Him, believing and trusting Him. And the dust and the rust of this earth. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Unto you, therefore, which trust and believe, he's the treasure. That's how we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, by believing him, trusting him. Now look at Matthew chapter 13. If Christ is your treasure, nothing will be as important to you as him. Now, you still have responsibilities on this earth that you must take care of. You know, Christ can be your treasure, and you can be the best employee on the job and get raises and promotions because of it. Absolutely, you can. You can have Christ as your treasure and build yourself a nice home, take care of your family, and Christ still be your treasure. But nothing will be as important to you as knowing Christ and having him. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buys that field. He buys that field because everything in that field, whatever it is in that field, is more important to him than everything else he has. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. See, if Christ is your treasure, he will be the most important thing to you. You've got to be where he is. You've got to be where he's preached. You've got to be where you can hear more about him. And preaching the gospel is setting forth the glory of Christ. Don't you love hearing about the glory of your treasure? All the glory of all the different facets of it. And having Christ as your treasure, that's not going to ever leave you unsatisfied, seeking more. Having Christ as your treasure brings you joy. Joy through faith in Christ that'll never turn to dust or rust. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's a description of our treasure. If Christ is our treasure. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. If Christ is our treasure, this treasure is so great that you have everything. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, those riches can never be taken away. Our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption can never be taken away because all those things are Christ. I mean, they're in Christ, but they are Christ. And if he's our treasure, rust can never make him disappear, can they? And we lay up for treasure for ourselves in heaven by seeking Christ and seeking him earnestly, by setting our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. If you know Christ, set your heart on him. And don't let the other things of this earth, even good responsibilities that you have to take care of, don't let them keep you from Christ. Because the Apostle Paul said, if you know Christ, if you believe him, you're dead to this world. You're dead to it. If you're dead to this world, you're dead to the treasures of it. You're dead to the treasures of this world, and you're dead to the disasters of this world. That means they don't affect you. They don't affect you. A corpse laying in a casket. How do the headlines in the newspaper today affect that corpse? Not one bit. Whether they're good or bad, they don't affect it because he's dead to this world. Have you ever seen somebody talking to the body in a casket? People do that. I'm not saying anything, you know, bad about that. You got something on your heart, you're saying goodbye, you know, whatever. But have you ever seen that corpse affected by anything you say? I mean, you could tell that corpse, you know, all your life you've been a dirty, rotten scoundrel, just ruined my life. I hate you. Corpse unaffected. Be dead to this world. And you can tell that corpse, oh, I love you. You've been the most wonderful person and such a blessing in my life. I don't know how I'm going to go on without you. The corpse is unaffected because he's dead to this world. That's the believer. This world doesn't affect you. You're not of the world. You're born from above. So feel the same way about all the treasures of this earth. They got nothing to do with you. They got nothing you want. You seek Him. You seek Christ. And I tell you what, you seek Him early. Seek Him early. And I'm not just talking about early in the day. Seek Him early in life. Seek Him early in life. Old age is a thief that robs our mind. So you can't understand and you can't seek Him. Seek Him early, earnestly. Because if you have Christ, you've got the whole treasure. You know, some people, they seek treasures on this earth. They seek riches of the earth. Well, you know what? If you've got Christ, you've got the one who's rich in mercy. If you've got Christ, you've got all the unsearchable riches of Christ. What earthly riches can compare to that? Some people treasure popularity, having lots and lots of friends, being in the in crowd. If you've got Christ, you've got a friend. A friend of sinners. What a friend we have in Jesus. Some people treasure influence and power. But if you've got Christ, you're a child of the King. You're welcome into the throne room anytime you want. What more influence can you want? Some people treasure this life, keeping this body alive. If we've got Christ, we've got eternal life. Some people treasure physical beauty, trying to keep this body looking good as long as they can. But if you've got Christ, you've got Him who is altogether lovely. Oh, what a treasure. And to think that He would give that treasure freely to the likes of sinners like us. The world's not going to give you its treasures freely, but God does. People seeking treasures on this earth, they will never, ever, ever be satisfied. They'll never get enough, and whatever they do get is going to turn to rust and dust. But everybody who's trusting Christ is going to be satisfied. Because if they've got Christ, they've got all things. And if you've got all things, you can't have more. You can't want more because you can't have more. That's what we have in trusting Him. I pray, Lord, will give us that faith to trust Him. All right. Lord bless you.